praise in the house of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. I see now we're ready to bake the cake and ready to roll now. Before we get into the ministry of the word, I do want to express again my profound appreciation. I'm very humbled that this man and woman of God, as well as this people, would so allow us the privilege of sharing in the fellowship of the kingdom with you. There are so many that you could have asked to come and to share on this day. There are so many that you could have invited to become a part of the fellowship of the kingdom with you. But the fact that you so allowed us to come all the way from Florida by way of Orlando, by way of Leesburg, we are so humble. We say the Lord blessings be upon you. And we pray that your meal barrels never run dry or your oil crews run empty. And pray that the wind of God will be in your back and the favor of God upon your faith. That he who has began a good work in you will not cease until the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. You receive that in the name of the Lord. I thank God for you. Thank God. Thank God for the pastor and Lady Dawson. And they are such an encouragement. And we're just always excited to hear from them and to hear of them and what the Lord will do and is doing in and on their behalf. And we bless God. Certainly, Dr. Dwight and First Lady Carol, just good to see the two of them from the Manifested Life. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man and woman of God. And I tell the Citadel sometime, I said, I don't know what I did right in life to have the kind of wife and the kind of daughters that I have, and pastor the kind of people that I have, and to have the kind of friends that I have. But whatever I did, God keep on helping me to do it. Amen. 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 I'm not going to be before you long enough. I was at a restaurant recently, and a lady was in, had been in my service, and she saw me up close, and she said, oh, you're the pastor. She said, I want to come, but you were going on and on and on. And she caught me on a good day. She really did. She caught me on a good day in a good place. The fact that she was bold enough to tell the man of God that he kept going on and on and on. If we hadn't been in public, you know, I'd had to hang her high and stretch her wide. But I said, she said, you're going to be, I'm going to come back and you're going to keep going. How long are you going to be the next time I come? I said, long enough. I said, when you go to the mall and you go to the football game, you don't ask them how long they're going to be. Amen. Only in church we want to rush God. Okay, that went over well. That went over well. I invite you to come and be with us. If you need a break from the mudslides and the fog. And I heard about the mudslide, the evacuation and everything. I said, I'm getting on the plane up out of here tonight. Florida's got hurricane, you got mud. But God is a faithful God. Amen. Amen. I just really sense the presence of the Lord in this place. And worship ministry, man, I'm telling you, you guys have got something on you. Don't lose that. That the sincerity of your heart and your spirit, I'm telling you. Amen. 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 I see. And now, you know, sometimes you miss the opportunity to appreciate what God has given you. You know, I tell people sometimes they spend a lot of time looking across the fence at the green grass on the other side. But one thing about grass, I don't care how brown it is on your side, if it rain hard enough, it'll turn green. So what you got to do is stop looking at somebody's green grass and fertilize your own grass. That'll preach tomorrow. I can't feel with that today. I haven't given a tremendous assignment from the Spirit of God. I did not come to preach to everyone. I did not come, I must give you notice, I came first of all to preach to people who have a prophetic ear to hear. pastor was talking about the whole dimension of the fivefold ministry, and really represents the hand of God. It is not some revelation. It's not some new doctrine. If you read the Bible, God is a God of pattern. God's a God of typology. And you understand that when you read the Bible, you just can't read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. And God moves in certain dimensions to show us certain things. You remember when the Bible talks about when Elijah declared and decreed that it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain because he said it's not going to rain. And that'll preach right there, because there are certain things that relates to a divine connection and a man and a woman of God over your life, that God give them the grace to hold up and the grace to release certain things in your life. You see, when Israel was walking with Moses, this is free, this is not part of my message, but it'll help you in the long run. When Israel was walking with Moses, there are three dimensions of a leadership. Moses walked with the people, Moses walked before the people, and Moses walked above the people. God give you a leader sometime to walk with you so that they can experience what you're experiencing, so they can have empathy for your situation. You never want a leader who can see you going through and not be moved by it. Amen, somebody. That's why a lot of times people gather in large congregations and you've got preachers and pastors living good, riding good, and eating good on the backs of people who are struggling. And many of them have never had to go through what the people have gone to go through, so they do not have empathy. If you've ever been a pastor and you had to believe God for your light bill, then you have compassion when your member tell you, I need a light bill help. Amen, somebody. And there was a time when Moses walked before the people. Moses walked before the people in a season so that he can encounter what the people were going to encounter, so he can tell them how to handle it when they got there. You want somebody who is not as broke as you are all the time to tell you how to get out of the situation you're in. Amen, somebody. The Bible declares like priests, like people. So broke priests, broke people, but that'll preach on another day. I won't bother with that today. And then Moses walked above the people. That is the highest level of spiritual ranking. That's a season in your life when God gives your leader the prophetic insight to see what's coming and to keep you from having to experience it. Everybody needs somebody in your life. Listen, everybody needs a weatherman in your life that they're able to tell you, here come the storm. There are some storms I don't mind going through, but there are some storms I want to avoid. That'll preach. I don't have to. Y'all mess with me on this. I can't bother with y'all today. It's just, you know, there's some things I don't mind. But if there's anything I can avoid, then weatherman in the spirit tell me, hey, run. Why? Here come a hurricane. Amen. So I don't want to live in Florida and be around weathermen that keep on missing it. The forecast is off. The warning is off. They can't see the hurricane. You wake up in the middle of the night, roof blown off, window blown out. And they say, oh, I didn't know it was coming. Listen, I'm telling you, fire that weatherman, because he don't have the capacity to keep me safe at the most vulnerable time in my life. I got to move on. Let me go on now. I'm assigned this morning to teach and to preach and whatever on the subject that the Lord's given me called an unlikely choice. An unlikely choice. An unlikely choice. Turn with me, my brothers and my sisters, to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7. And I'm reading in your hearing verses 6, 7, and 8. And then we shall flip over to the New Testament. Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, verses 6, 7, and 8. If you have it, say amen. Say amen if you really have it. Okay, here we go now. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the planet. Watch this now. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, glory to God, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen or bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we shall read from verse 25 down to verse 29. Glory to God. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verses 25 through 29. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So far, the scripture. I want to talk again on the subject, an unlikely choice. An unlikely choice. Now this text, in its initial hearing, portrays to us a paradox. Something that on the surface does not appear to make sense to our rational state of mind. Because we are taught by society, by cultural references, that one typically do not choose that which is unlikely. In other words, if you're on the baseball diamond, the basketball court, and you had the opportunity to choose between a star NBA player or a Major League Baseball player, or a rookie or a high school player to be on your team, then more than likely you're going to choose the one who represents the epitome of the ability to win in the game. That's why we oftentimes miss it. Don't miss this point. We oftentimes miss what God is doing because we have a perception of what God is doing based on our own definition. Oh God, that's too thick for Saturday morning, but here I come anyway. Many times we miss what God is doing. We miss out on what God is doing because we come to God with prejudice. That went just the way I thought it was going to go. I'm not talking about a sense of racial biasness. I'm not talking about a sense of cultural preference. I'm talking about we tend to come to God with a real sense of prejudging, predetermination. We have already concluded that this is what God is going to do, and this is how God is going to do it. In other words, we come to God many times with God already pre-planned and in a box. And if anything I know about God, God does not like to be boxed in. Oh, no, no. I mean, the last thing you ever want to do is an attempt to tell God what to do. I know some of y'all got it with him like that. You somehow feel like you got the inside scoop, that you are one of God's coon boom buddies, that you can say to God, God, do this, God, hit this one, God, make this one house break down, make this one car break down. You can make God your personal hitman. But some of us understand that from the eons of time that he is God, and beside him there is no other. That he's not a God you can hurry. He's not a God you can constrain. He's not a God that you can intimidate. He's not a God. He is God all by himself. Somebody believe that ought to give God a clap offering right then and there. Yeah. He's God. He's the infallible God. He's the immutable God. He's the inerrant God. As a matter of fact, the scriptures declare from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is the God whom the Bible declared rideth upon the wings of the winds, and the clouds are his chariot. He is the God, I tell you, hung stars in the empty place. The Bible says he numbers the stars and calls them by their name. What an incredible God we serve. I just want to take a few moments to brag on him. Because some of you sitting up in here, you get all excited. You get all excited if Kobe Bryant walked up in here. The girls would fall out. The men would try to get his autograph. Oh, you see, because Kobe is in the house. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sister, one greater than Kobe is up in the house today. And so I want to brag on him for a few moments. He has been mighty, mighty good to me. He has been awesome. He declared in his word that I know your thoughts from afar off. I know the thought before they enter into your mind, before your thought come from the north to the south, or from the east to the west. I already know what you're going to think. He already declared, I know you're down sitting. I know the seat you're going to sit in before you sit in the seat. Oh, good God, from Zion. I number the hairs on your head. When I was early in my theology, I used to think that God knew how many hairs was on your head. But then I understand that at a greater degree, that's not what the scripture is implying. The scripture is implying that he knows the number of the hairs on your head. In other words, he knows when hair number 979 falls out. He knows when hair number 1,738 turns gray. He knows the number of hairs. Woo! Good God, come on. He knows you. He is this incredible God. And if you can't brag on anything else, if you can't get happy about your financial condition, if you can't be happy about your employment or your social status, you'll be happy about the fact that he knows you, that he thought enough of you to allow you to dare to call his name. He is so holy and so righteous. He could have made the mountains, the Bible said, he makes the mountains to run like rams and the hills skip like little lambs. Glory to God. And God, the incredible God who declared that if you hold your peace, the rocks will cry out. That God had enough nerve to let dirt praise him. Good God, come on. I know you're sitting up in here today. I know you smell good. I know you got your little clothes on, your little outfit on. I know your hair is tight and everything is nice and sweet. But behind all of that, there we ain't nothing but dirt. Good God, come on. And God had enough nerve to let dirt praise him. Oh, so I know you think you all of that, but put yourself to the side and put your hands together and bless the God who had enough nerve to let you praise him. Woo! I feel them all up in here today. Give me a few more moments and let me bust a move up out of here. And so then now, this God with all that he could have chosen, with all that he could have done, with the people that he could have raised up, he decided to choose the unlikely. The unlikely. The thing about the word unlikely that blows my mind is to understand that, first of all, unlikely means something not likely to be true. That's the thing that I love about God. God in this season is raising up people that when folks look at their lives and hear their testimony, they say that can't be true. And some of you sit up here today, I know you got a sweet testimony, but there was a season in your life where you told somebody what you were going to be, and they say that's never going to happen. But look what the Lord has done. Look, God from Zion. Not likely to be true, not likely to come to pass. That's why you should never, ever, 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 ever try to count anybody out. I know there's a spirit in the house of God, a very mean-spirited spirit. There's a spirit in the house of God where we become so judgmental and so critical and people mess up. I mean, we want to stretch them wide and hang them high. We want to punish them. We want to break them down. We had enough nerve to mess up on God. But many times the people who are throwing the rocks forgot about the fact that they once upon a time was in the rock cage themselves. Oh, yes, I know. Brothers and sisters, there's times that you should never, ever count anybody out. The same people that you say will never rise up, you get on God's nerve bad enough, he'll raise them up. That's what David declared. David said, thou perpetually prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Everybody that said, I'm never going to make it, God said, I'll make your haters your waiters. Woo. Woo. I double dog dare you to touch your neighbor and say what you and say to your neighbor, neighbor, you better be careful how you treat me. Come on, tell your neighbor that. You said it like you didn't like your neighbor yourself. Tell your neighbor, you better be careful how you treat me. Yes, yes, yes. I may be going through the day. I may be struggling today. I may be between a rock and a hard place today, but you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, because God does not need loan to get me out of my situation. Oh, don't you know that you can lay down tonight broke, busted, and disgusted, and by the time you lay down tomorrow night, your whole world has been turned upside right? Oh, you know, God don't need loan to bless your life. Good God from God. As a matter of fact, I doubled all day to catch a prophetic ear what I'm preaching to you right now, and grab somebody by the hand and shake it like they've got $1 million that belong to you, and tell a neighbor, I'm getting ready for a sudden blessing right now. I'm messing with some of y'all. We ain't never did this in church. Get ready for it. We ain't never talked to each other in church. That's the problem. We don't talk to each other enough. So that's why we spend too much time talking about each other. Good God, I'm dying. Touch somebody else and tell her, I'm getting ready for a suddenly blessing. Yeah. That's it. That's it. God does not check with committees. God does not need anyone's permission to bless you. God does not need you to fill out an application, a resume. God does not need you to suck up to anybody, kiss nobody on the... Yes, he does not need you to do that. He's God all by himself. And if you give him a praise, he can bring you from the back of the line to the front of the line overnight. Anybody else in here for ready for promotion? Let me hear you give God a promotion of praise right there. Yeah. Woo. I feel something breaking up in here. Woo! Good God from thine. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Sit down. I got to build my case. Woo. I got to build my case and go on home. And so then now the first group of people that ought to get excited are those of you that your past does not represent your future. Yes, 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 I got a jacked up past. Yes, I got some stuff in my yesterday, some stuff in my yesteryear. I got some stuff under the closet, in the closet, under the bed, under the mattress, under the carpet. I got some stuff I don't want nobody to know about. Come on, mother, don't sit here and look down on your daughter. Older women should not look down on young women because they're walking around with a baby out of wedlock, because the only difference between them and you is they got caught and you didn't. Good God. I'm going to mess with somebody up in here and go home, you understand? I'm going to mess with you, and then I'm going to the big house. Yes, my brothers and sisters. Everybody up in here got some stuff that you want to forget. Everybody up in here got a monkey on your back that you're glad God got off your back. Everybody up in here got a hole that you had to crawl your way up out of. Everybody up in here got a demon you had to whip out of your life. And so that's why when you come to church, you ought not to give your energy to people who are sitting there trying to shut down your praise. They call you crazy, but you ought to tell them, if God brought you out like he brought me out, you have a crazy praise too. Show your neighbor what kind of praise you got for your God right there, right? Woo, I got a praise. I got a praise, and I got to get it out. Yes, 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 yes. Yee. Not likely to be true. Not likely. And then the second group of people that fits the unlikely category of those, when people look at you, it has a little chance of being the case or coming about. Has little chance. In other words, you the kind of person that when folks looked at you, they said, there is no way that that's going to happen. There is no way you're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted all your life. Your grandmama didn't have nothing. Your mama didn't have nothing. You ain't gonna have nothing. Your granddaddy was a rolling stone. Your daddy was a rolling stone. And here you are, the next rolling stone. But I'm here to tell somebody up in here that God sent me all the way from Leesburg, Florida, to tell you the curse is broken. Good. I felt that for somebody up in here. I felt that. Did you turn? Give me a little bit more volume. I promise if I break it, I'll pay for it. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that God has the ability to stop the generational genocide of your life. God has the ability. It does not matter how long it's been in your family. All God needs is one praise. The Bible says it like this in the book of Psalm. The Bible said he has set solitaries in families to bring out those that are bound with chains. In other words, why you and not your cousin? Why you and not your sister? Because God is getting ready to raise you up to be the generational blessing to your family. Now, I know they didn't want you to make it. I know they didn't like you. I know they talked about you at the family reunion. I know they thought you never going to be anything. But they didn't understand that you are their Moses. Good God from Zion. You are the generational deliverer. You are the one that God wants to use to shift the order, reverse the curse, break the bondage. You are the one that God said, if I can get somebody in this family that'll sell out to me, that'll lift your voice like a trumpet, cry loud and spare not, give me a praise in the morning, in the noonday. If I can get somebody that don't mind making it known to everybody that there is no God like Jehovah. As a matter of fact, you ought to practice your praise that you're going to give at the next family meeting, the next family reunion, the next time you show up at Big Mama's house and Little Lily house. You ought to have a praise already on your lips. Let me see what kind of praise you're going to break off in their house when you get there up in. Woo. I feel them in here. Yee, good God. Yes, 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 yes. My brothers and my sisters, sit down. I'm almost finished. It means then now the third group of people that fits the unlikely category of those that, watch this now, that have a probability too low to inspire belief. It means those that when people look at your life is so jacked up until it's hard for anybody to believe that you're ever going to be anything. But I stop by to tell every person in the unlikely category, get ready because God has chosen you. Woo! Good God from Zion. That's the thing that I love about God, that God is so awesome that he would allow the enemy to ruin your life, burn down your life, turn your life to nothing but ashes, and then God will step in and speak life to your ashes and build a monument to his glory right in the midst of the ash pile. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, this is not a time to throw in the towel. This is not a time to throw in your hand. This is not a time to say, I quit. This is a time to tell the devil, bring it on, because the best of me is yet to be. Is there anybody that's in here feel like that? Oh, my neighbor, my brother, my sister. Slap somebody with a high five and tell her, here I come, here I come, here I come. Slap her one more time with a high five and tell her, here I come, here I come. Yes, yes. Here I come. Where I'm coming up, I'm coming out. I'm coming over, I'm coming through. The devil thought that I was not going to make it. The devil thought I wasn't going to survive. Life thought it had the best of me. Folk thought I was going to give up. But God had another plan. God had another way. And so then now the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible said, just as I hurry quickly to a close, he said, but thou art a holy people, good God from Zion. Look at this God, as wretched as we was, as rebellious as we were, as broken down as we were. Look what God does. God said, I call you holy. Now you see, some of you can't get with that because you've been taught that holiness means perfection. That's not the case. Holiness simply means that God decides to put what's on him on you because you didn't have enough of you to be like him. Good God, somebody. I need you to brag on your God for about 13 seconds up in here and touch three people real quick and tell them, I'm holy, I'm holy, I'm holy. Yes, I am. I'm holy. I'm holy. Watch the drum. Watch the drum. Watch the drum. I'm holy. I'm holy. Yes, yes, yes. I command you in the name of the Lord. I don't care how jacked up you were. Every time you look in the mirror, call yourself holy. I don't care how rebellious your child may be. I don't care whether your husband is high as a kite and drunk as a skunk. He come in with spittle running down his mouth. You say, honey, you're holy, holy, holy. There's something something about holiness and declaring the holiness of God that can change the atmosphere. You don't believe it? Go to church with Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. When the Bible said that when King Uzziah died, that the angels of the Lord began to cry out, holy, 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 and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the Bible said the doorposts move by reason of the glory. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that God wants you and I to begin to confess the holiness of God over our lives. I need you one more time to touch somebody and tell them, I'm holy, I'm holy, I'm holy. See, you got a little low on me right there. You got a little low on me. No, no, raise it high, raise it high. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Shout somebody and tell them, holy, holy, holy. Yes, 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 I'm holy. I'm going to talk holy. I'm going to walk holy. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to think holy. I'm going to have a holy life. Yes, because God is getting ready to blow the devil's mind. God is getting ready to make an embarrassment of all of my enemies. God is getting ready to tell the devil that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God is getting ready to let the enemy know that you came in like a flood, but I was able to raise up a standard against them. For the Bible declared that nevertheless the foundation be shaken, but the Lord knoweth those that are his. I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, that it's time for us to get excited about being a holy people. It's time for us to come out the closet and let holiness be our banner on our job and in our homes. I need about three people up in here to holler, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. And then the Bible declares, not only did God say you're holy people unto the Lord, he said, but you are a special people. Good God, from that. I'm talking to the unlikely folks up in here. I'm not talking to those of you that feel like you deserve to be here. I'm not talking to those of you that have a perfect life. You've never done anything wrong. You've never made a mistake. You never missed the mark. You never got off track. You just sitting up in here looking like Alice in Wonderland. But I'm talking to people in here today that when you look at your life to dictate, or your life said there is no way that I should even have enough nerve to expect to be blessed. But by the fact that God called me holy, and then God called me a special person. In other words, special means that I've got you, that you're the apple of my eye and the darling of my heart. Is there anybody else in here besides Pastor Williams that really appreciate the fact that God loves you unconditionally, that God loves you without limitation, that God loves you without reservation? Now, I know a lot of us don't have people in our, I'm going to preach and go home because y'all not going to walk with me, but I know a lot of you don't have people in your life that pat you on the back, that celebrate you, that cheerlead you on. So every now and then, you got to learn how to celebrate yourself. Every now and then, you got to pat yourself on the back. Every now and then, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Will you please grab somebody by the hand and shake it like they got $1 million and tell them, neighbor, I'm special, I'm special. Yes, 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 I am. I'm special to God. I'm special to God. That's why every time I come to church, I gotta give him a praise like I never gave him before. That every time I come into the house of the Lord, I gotta clap my hands and pat my feet. Every time I come into the house of the Lord, I gotta raise my voice because God has been mighty, mighty good to me. I feel like giving him a praise right now. Can I find somebody to give God a special praise? Come on, Zion, let me hear you give God a special praise. If God has been better to you, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. I thank God for setting me free. I thank God that he kept me from going crazy. I thank God that he didn't let me lose my mind. I could have been locked up somewhere in prison. I could be laying on a sick bed somewhere right now. I could have cancer in my body. I should have had this and that. But he looked beyond all my faults and saw my needs. Somebody ought to put your hands together and bless God like he's the best thing. come on Zion, let me hear you give God a praise in the house.
Woo!
Yes, 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 yes. Sit down, I'm almost finished. I got to wrap this up and go home. I want you to understand that God says that you're holy and you're special. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, that every time you come to church from this day forward, you got to check the person you sitting by, because there are people who come to the house of God. They are professional praise killers, and they are professional worship stoppers. They don't want you to bless God because they don't have nothing to bless God for. That's why every now and then you got to do a praise check when you come to the house of God. Every now and then you got to act like you lost it so you can run everybody that don't want to praise God from by you. That's why every now and then you got to shake your leg so you can make them nervous and I'm going to move. You say, that's what I need you to do, because I came up in here to break up something. I came up in here to set the house on fire. I came up in here to let the devil know that out of all that I've been through, I still got to praise. Out of everything I've been through, I'm going to lift him up and magnify him. I devil dog dare you one more time to look at your neighbor on the left and the right and say, neighbor, are you sure you're sitting in the right place? Because neighbor, I'm getting ready to give him a praise. That might make you nervous and upset, but I'm going to give him a praise right now. Let me see somebody up in here that don't mind giving him a praise right there. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Woo! I feel like lifting him up. I feel like giving him praise. I feel like giving him glory. I feel like giving him honor. I feel like magnifying his name. I don't know what your testimony is, but he's still the best thing that ever happened to me. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, he kept my enemies away. Come on, let me give you one more praise. Come on and give him one more glory. Yes, 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 yes. And the scripture goes on to say, sit down, give me a few more moments. And the Bible goes on to say, my brothers and my sisters, that God said, I set my love upon you. I put my love on you. Not because you were so great in number. Not because you had so much might. Not because you were so strong. Not because you had enough money to pay all your bills. Not because you had the finest of life and the finest of condition. But God said, as a matter of fact, you were the fewest of all people. That you didn't even have enough to help yourself. You didn't have enough to get yourself out. You didn't even have enough to bail yourself out of prison. You didn't have enough to bring your life to the next level. But God said, you're just the one that I was looking for. You're just the people that I came looking for. I don't know who all I came to preach to up here, but I came to tell every unlikely person that God is getting ready. Oh, good God from Zion, that God is getting ready to make every good thing good and make every good thing better. That God is getting ready to tell the devil, you had your shot. Now it's my time to raise them up. It's my time to turn the situation around. It's my time to make the devil pay for everything you ever been through. If you ever been through anything in your life, let me hear you slap somebody with a high five and holler, payday, 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 payday. Yes, 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 payday. Payday, payday, payday. Yes, 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 yes. Payday is coming. God is getting ready. Now, I know some of y'all can't get with that because you got in your mind you're going to struggle all your life. Well, you just sit there like Otis Redding, sit on the dock of the bay and watch the blessings go away. But there's some of us sitting up in here this morning that made up in our mind that we're not going to end this year like we started this year. That God's getting ready to do something so phenomenal that I've got
got to have a move of God. Will you please help me with the devil up in here and grab one person and holler out of your faith belly and tell your neighbor, I've got to have a move of God. Tell your neighbor, I've got to have a move of God. Tell somebody else, I've got to have a move of God. Tell somebody else, I've got to have a move of God. Tell somebody else, I've got to have a move of God. Tell one more person, I've got to have a move of God. That God's got to do something in my situation. And God's got to do something in my circumstance. And God's got to do something in my situation. And I'm not going to wait for God to do it to give him a praise. I'm going to praise him before he even break out. I'm going to praise him before he even move. I'm going to praise him before he turn it around. I'm going to praise him before he make a way out of no way. I'm going to praise him in advance because I know that if I praise him, that God will come to my rescue. That if I praise him, that God will turn back the hand of the enemy. I double dog dare you to give God a praise on credit right there. Praise him like he's already made a way. Praise him like he's already opened the door. Praise him like he's already healed your body. Praise him like he's already paid your bill. Praise him like he's already told the devil not another time. Praise him. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. I feel breakthrough up in the house. I feel a breakthrough up in the house. I may not finish my message, but I feel the Holy Ghost prompting me up in here to tell the Spirit of Life congregation to go to three people real quick and holler breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Yes, yes, yes. Breakthrough. Breakthrough, God. Breakthrough up in here. Breakthrough, breakthrough. I know some of y'all can't ride with this. So I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to people that got to have God. That God, if you don't come to my rescue, if you don't do something about this situation, God, I'm going to lose my mind up in here. So God, but you said that while I call unto you, that you will answer me. That while I'm praying, you'll send help. That while I'm crying, you'll send help. I stop by to tell you, that your help just showed up. That your help just showed up. That your help just hit the sanctuary. That your help just came to your life. That your help just hit your house. If you can't praise him because of where you've been, you ought to praise him because of where you're going. Your help just hit the sanctuary. Slap somebody else with a high five and holler, breakthrough just hit my life. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, because the Paul tell the church at Corinthians, he had chosen the foolish things of God. God said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. What God wants you and I to understand, that I'm getting ready, oh, good God from Zion, to do some stuff for you that does not make sense to nobody else. I'm getting ready to show everybody that I don't have to have a big congregation and I don't have to have a whole lot of money. All I need to have is a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I ask or think. You may not have a whole lot of money in the bank. You may not have no connection downtown, but you got a God in the heavens, and God is getting ready to do something foolish in your family, in your finances. If you can't celebrate yourself, then you ought to celebrate your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm getting ready to celebrate God for you. Yes, 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 yes. I'm getting ready because God is getting ready to do something for me that does not make no sense. I double dog dare you to prophesy over your life and tell yourself, neighbor, get ready for a crazy blessing. Yes, 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 yes. A crazy blessing. A blessing. You're going to see God give you a crazy blessing. Give him a crazy praise and see a crazy blessing. Yes, yes, yes. Woo, good God. I feel them all up in here. I feel them all up in here. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, Spirit of Life. Come on, Spirit of Life. Give him a praise and praise. Lift up your voice. Clap your hand. Open your mouth. And let God know that I believe your word. Let God know that I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. I need a way out of this. I need God. Give him a praise. Give him worship in the house.
Listen to me. He says, listen to me. God says, I could have chosen wise men. I could have chosen mighty men. I could have chosen noble men. God said, but this is what I decided to do. I decided to choose unlikely people. Weak folks. Foolish folks. He said, I decided to choose people who are despised. Because I'm getting ready to make those things that are not to be as though they are. I don't know why some of y'all ain't giving them a praise right there. And God says, he said, this is why I'm going to do this. Watch this now. He said, because no flesh is going to glory. He's saying, what I'm getting ready to do for you, ain't nobody going to get the glory but me. Stand with me. Stand with me. Now listen to Pastor Williams. Listen to Pastor. I listened to Pastor Dawson, and he has this real heart to see his people really go up and worship, really go up before the Lord and praise and worship. And that's why in the midst of this whole message, the Holy Spirit was after a provocation of praise and worship. Because a praiseless people is a powerless people. Praise has nothing to do with your culture, your theological preference. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise is the anthem of the Spirit. God will do more for a weak person with a praise than he will for a strong person with money. It's about your praise. It's about your worship. And so for a few moments, I'm led of the Lord to lead you in your time of praise. Now listen to Pastor. I told this story, shared with some pastors. But I want to tell you
real quick how to shift. How praise is able to break strongholds. I know the journey of this pastor and first lady. I know the journey of this man of God and this first lady and all that they're doing it. Years ago, we stepped out, we bought 20 acres of land. And I committed to paying for the land in 1 year. I had a balloon note. We put down about $150,000 in cash. And over that year, we paid close to $50,000 more with it. So we had about $200,000 plus in cash invested in this land. And all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. People started leaving the church. I tell people, folks, they were dying, lying, or flying. They were dying around me, lying on me, or flying away from me. I had all this money. And I knew that the guy that I was buying the land from was the kind of guy that if I missed the balloon payment, he would foreclose on the note, took the land back, and kept the money. Saints start staying home because every Sunday, Saints, we got to raise the money. And they got tired. They got tired. And when they got tired, I got tired. And I sat in my office on a Sunday morning, and I said, you know what, God, I'm tired. I don't care. Let them lose the money, the land, whatever. And I was really ready to just throw in the towel. I really was. I walked, as a matter of fact, if my wife and my children were in the sanctuary, I was in my office by myself. If I could have got away without hurting them, man, I'd have slipped out that door, went in the back, got in my car. Next time they heard from me, my name would have been Denny. Denny Wilcox. But I went in the sanctuary that morning. Praise was all in the church. My wife was leading the people in prayer. And excitement broke out. I walked in. What's happened? What's going to happen now? And in that service, in the midst of the praise, with all the struggle that I was under, in the midst of the praise, God broke financial things. There were people that were in the church that were not members of the congregation that got up, went home, and got their checkbooks and came back to church to give in that offer. Needless to say that we have a sanctuary sitting on those 20 acres of property today. You know why? Praise and worship. The most unlikely. Like a lot of you, that's where you are in your life. You are the most unlikely candidate for what God is getting ready to do. But guess what? He chose you. He wanted you. He wanted you. Now, for a few moments, I just want you to lift your hands and begin to make yourself available with worship right where you are. Come on. Worship team, come on. I like that song you're singing. That's it. Come on, just praise him. Right where you are, think about your life. Think about where you are.
Because I'm great.
Think about where you're going.
So grateful just to praise you, Lord.
Just let's begin to give him worship, man of God, woman of God. Praise him. And I know sometimes in life you get tired. Sometimes the battle gets hard. Sometimes you feel like, God, how long? How much more? When is my season going to come? But God sent me to tell you, this is the time that I've set for your life, for your family, for your finance, for your ministry. He chose you. Chose you. Just worship him. Come on.
I'm
see,
grateful.
Some of you so, we're so stale, we just can't even engage the Holy Spirit. Just talk to him. Father, I just thank you. Just thank you. Father, I thank you, God, that you kept me. God, I know I messed up. I know I haven't been everything I should be. But God, I thank you that you still wanted me.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
About your works.
About your works. Just to praise you, Lord.
Flowing from my heart.
Flowing
Father, I give you
from
praise.
My heart.
Are the issues of my heart.
Are the issues of my heart.
Praise you, Father. Raise your hand, Michael. Last night, in my hotel room, the Spirit of God spoke your name to me. And here's the word of the Lord to you. I don't know if y'all record prophetic words or not. You ready? Raise your hand, Michael. Get ready to receive the word. The Lord said, tell Michael, I'm getting ready to shift his life. Tell Michael I'm getting ready to shift his life. There's another season that your life is getting ready to step into. And I'm hearing the Lord says to tell you the circumstances to get you there may on the surface appear to be unusual, but it's him that's shifting your life. He's shifting your life for the good. So this is a time for you to embrace him like never before. And I'm hearing the Lord say, not a long period of time, the next 3 months, you're going to begin to see him unveiling to your life and your family some things that you begin to intercede and pray about and lift up before the Lord. And God said those things have come before him, that he's not abandoned, he's not turned his face from them. But God said those things are going to be the pattern, the footprints that lead you to where he's taking your life, amen. Said the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Come on, bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. I want to pray with you. Pray with you. The Holy Spirit really wants to release a real prophetic mantle in this house. But with apostolic authority, I'm going to tell you what the issue is. One, assuming too many of you put God on a clock. You're already, it's time to go. You got to hurry up. And whenever you do that, you insult the integrity of the Holy Spirit. And he lifts himself. Because he has no other word, but as soon as I release that word, something changed in the dynamics. You go, oh, shoot. And And the Holy Spirit said, no, that's it. I'll come back when they're ready. The Holy Spirit is not some force. He's God. He knows your need. He wants to reveal to you the mysteries of God. He wants you to know the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit wants to be your prayer partner. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, in an environment like this, easy to get pulled into prophesying out of your flesh because I can look across and through discernment and see. Their needs, their people, they'll be so. But the Holy Spirit works within an atmosphere of embrace. So I pray that from this day forward, anytime you come together, you will always have a heart to hear from the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The Spirit of God is always speaking. It's not something you have to, some kind of work up. Here's how it is, very clear for those of you that are more theologically deep than I am. If you turn the lights off in this building, that does not mean that there is not electricity in this building. It simply means that the potential of electricity is not being manifested.
Wow. Wow.
But anytime you want electricity, what do? Cut on the switch. We make it so difficult. I'm not going to doctrinize y'all today. That's the pastor's job. You may be seated with me. I do want to pray for you, sir. I do want to pray for you. Your wife is your wife. I do want to pray for her too. Because I was watching you last night. And I watch you today. Because I'm a people person. As I watch you, the folks look at you, they look like you are uninvolved, like you just kind of sit and serve it, but you are listening to hear clearly what God is saying. And you have a heart. You have a heart. And the Spirit of the Lord said to tell the two of you, there are some things that should have come into your life at this season that has been held back, even detoured from you. The Spirit of God said to tell you that He's bringing your life into a season of restoration to give you back things that you should have had at this season of your life. And the Lord said to tell you that He's stirring up the gift that's in you. The gift that's in you. And God said He trusts you because you've not tried to conform to be like anybody else. And God said that's what He's been looking for, a person and people who will walk in integrity before Him and be what He's called them to be. And God says, as you obey Him in this season, you're going to begin to see His hand restore and add back to your life. And the Lord said to tell you my conclusion. The Lord said, tell them that the rest of your days will be the best of your days, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Pastor didn't ask me to do this, and I don't know his format is, but I want to lead you in worshiping and giving. And I'm finished. I didn't come to LA for an offering. I didn't come out here. I came to be an encouragement. I came to fulfill my apostolic duties. But I'm telling Spirit of Life, find the level of praise and worship. and your victories will be sweatless. Easier. Anytime I'm at Citadel and look like it's hard for it to get something done, I start looking at the praise level. When it's hard for me to preach, I'm like, what happened to y'all in the praise singers? Because praise and worship, you just get up here and sing and perform. You got to set the atmosphere so that the word of God can come forth with power. Say amen, somebody. Thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to come and to share in this wonderful worship experience. Will you bring me an offering bucket or whatever you normally do? Thank you, sir. I've come in today to sow. So I didn't come for an offering. I came to be a blessing. I want everybody in here to get a seed that represent where you're going. A seed to represent God. You decide to choose me. You decide you're going to turn my life around. I'm sowing in this offering because there's some things I ain't believing God for my life and for my ministry and certainly for my family. I'm sowing a $250 seed in this offering. I'm not going to tarry long. I'm not going to give you 13 promises, 5 prophetic words. If you're responsible to tithe, God's got to bring the body of Christ to a point where we're not struggling. We cannot hiccup over a dime. I just happen to have one in my pocket. Most people, look at this, you see this? More people are missing out on their blessing because of this. One little dime out of a dollar. One dime out of a dollar. This morning I want you to be committed this year to tithing scripturally and to giving offerings that represent where you're going and not where you come from. I want to pray and ask the Lord to bless you. Then I want you to stand and come and bring your tithe and your offering. I want you to sow a good offering this morning to the work of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, in accordance to your word, I pray that you will remember your people to the good and let blessings rest in their houses. Father, you've chosen the unlikely. That's us. Not because we were strong, not because we were great in number, not because we were mighty and noble, but you chose us because you were looking for an unlikely people to do extraordinary things for. And we thank you for that. Now we honor you through the giving of the tithe and the sowing of our offering. And we bless you now in Christ's name. Amen. All over this congregation, brothers and sisters, will you stand and bring the Lord an offering and the tithe that represents your obedience to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you. Don't hiccup over a dime. It's not worth it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and evangelistic center. youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved, and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation, monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property, and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.